by welcoming everyone to this week's Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar training program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics related to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is bringing community leaders to lobby meetings. So you've done the research to focus your own group's grass tops engagement, and you plan on bringing your community leaders to your next meeting. Well, tonight's training will walk you through how to best prepare and provide specific examples of what other CCL groups' success stories have been and what they've learned along the way. To get us there, we have five wonderful speakers that we'll be highlighting. We have Jim Grimes and George Chenetsky out of CCL Indianapolis. Jim is CCL Indianapolis's Grass Tops Coordinator, and George is CCL Indianapolis or Indiana 05 Congressional District's Liaison. We have the wonderful Kate Karn, CCL Nebraska, as well as Lori and Rob Byron out of CCL Montana and the Health Action Team co-leaders. And so we thank all of you for taking the time to join us tonight and sharing your wisdom and experience from the field. I think in particular, I want to uplift that many of these stories tonight actually are from rural and traditionally red state districts. So especially if you're tuning in tonight, you're curious how you can do this in a way that will also work for your community. Perhaps they aren't as apt to jump immediately into climate action. A lot of these stories are specifically targeted for you tonight to help feel that support and awareness that this can be done wherever you might be calling in from. Our three learning goals tonight are focused on conducting research and facilitating communication ahead of time, how to achieve that with what you're doing ahead of time to make sure you're planning for success, and also different ways that you can incorporate community leaders into lobby meetings. There's a variety of options out there. We'll go through a variety of them in the stories that we're highlighting. And then we'll have the chance again to really learn from CCL chapters across the whole country that have found success in this essential way of building out the relationship with your members of Congress. To do that, our agenda is really straightforward. We'll dive first into that initial research and communication phase. We'll then focus on community leaders and how to best incorporate them, along with some important considerations as you prepare for your lobby meeting with your grass tops and community leaders. We'll then highlight stories of success from throughout CCL's field work, and then we'll have time for Q&A discussion. So to start us off tonight, I'd like to just tell the story of one of our CCL chapters, and that is CCL Idaho. And this is actually straight from a CCL blog article that focused on their important work, written by Harold Hadelman, the Business Climate Leader's co-founder and co-leader. CCL chapters in Boise and Pocatello achieved real success in engaging Idaho businesses through their special recipe of success that combined inter-chapter coordination, preparation, teamwork, and communication skills, plus a partnership with the Business Climate Leader's Action Team. They started by borrowing a page from the playbook of CCL's impressive Florida outreach campaign. For those listening in, if you haven't heard the story of Jay Butera and the work of CCL volunteers throughout Florida that really built on this initial model, I suggest checking that out online as well. And CCL Idaho formed a steering committee that launched a leaders initiative. They asked in that letter businesses to lobby their representative, Mike Simpson, with three requests: to meet with them, to join the Climate Solutions Caucus, and to support carbon pricing. And so let's review some of the key elements that led to their success. So communication. The campaign leader, John Seeger, says consistent communication is crucial. So they maintained polite, persistent, and patient, as well as regular contact with companies that helped support CCL's cause. John said that it's essential to stay in close contact with the company, and the dedication of CCL's volunteers was infectious. That really helped open the door for us. For preparation, Boise chapter leader Nancy Basinger said preparation is another key ingredient for success. Team member Lori Zuckerman conducted extensive research and planning, and Lori is always prepared when meeting with new contacts, Nancy said. She does her homework, and by the time we met with the company, we've prepared a notebook filled with information about them. Lori also added that company leaders know that we are sincere and respectful because we value what they do, and we've highlighted that with our approach to them, and we want to know what's best for their business. So that really helps get the conversation off to a great start. on connections. This is where Business Climate Leaders was able to help John and the CCL Idaho group. They provided them with tools and templates to help the launch. They stayed on the steering committee to help them recruit businesses and staffers to do it. And using your network is most important, Nancy added. Really being able to start with the people that you know, as more and more people become familiar with what Citizens Climate Lobby is doing, doors open and it gets easier. In addition, Lori is a Rotarian and her outreach to Rotary and those contacts helped contribute a lot. Now, lastly, in seeing results, John's reported that the two chapters have already gotten the support of three hospitals, the Idaho chapter of the American Lung Association, the Idaho Public Health Association, and the Idaho Clean Energy Association, along with other businesses. And Business Climate Leaders helped contribute four other companies, including Cliff Bar, Hewlett-Packard, St. Alphonsus, who's a hospital part of the larger conglomerate there with Trinity Health, and Happy Family Brands, also thanks to the American Sustainable Business Council for that ability to make that connection. And through that work, they've continued to grow and develop that relationship. They've been able to sign on additional partners, continue to engage new companies, and all working within Idaho's chapters to bring the voice of business to all of Idaho's congressional delegation. So now that we've really zoomed out and seen how this all worked together with one specific group, let's dive into some of the details and break down each of those roles a little bit more. So let's talk initial research and communication first and foremost. Having a local community leader ready to join your meeting is really going to help open the door in offices that have historically been hard to get a face-to-face with your member as well. So with your local team, it's going to be helpful to make a list of community leaders who are persuasive to your members of Congress, to local politicians, local heads of significant community organizations, and you can include faith leaders, important campus figures, business leaders as well. Another key thing to emphasize is that cold calls to local businesses are very challenging. So we have example emails that you can start to dive into thanks to Business Climate Leaders. And we also encourage you to really start by narrowing down your target list to the community leaders that you and your group already have connections with. And to really ask yourself, are there other local leaders or other nonprofits that can help make those connections for you? So you're at least going in cool, if not warmly connected to who they are, and to have a known entity help make that connection is really going to speed things along. It's also really important to think about, prioritize re-engaging with leaders who have already endorsed or in the process of endorsing carbon fee and dividend ahead of the Energy Innovation Act being introduced. And also, if you don't have enough connections, you know, are there, you know, a volunteer or a team of volunteers in your group who feel moved to initiate calls and really be able to develop your own grasstops team or steering committee to really manage planning and coordinating with your own local liaison to make those calls and initiate having that contact. Your local liaison is also essential, as you hear from some of these other stories, to understanding the relationship with your member of Congress and to really be able to be on board to know what's going to work, who is going to be most effective to build out that support and really be involved along the way to develop that relationship with the staff and the member of Congress. We also encourage you to refresh yourself on the background of your community leader. We have a whole training that's focused on focusing your grasstops outreach. But again, you can check out LinkedIn profiles, social media feeds, company websites, you name it, so that you can arrive prepared and appreciate in common values throughout. So that's really the overview for initial research and communication. We always also recommend that you want to check the grasstops engagement tracker to make sure that others aren't already pursuing that leader, and be sure to coordinate with CCL chapters in your state or district to avoid duplicating any efforts in case somebody is already pursuing that warm lead. All right, so next up, you want to think about how to best incorporate your community leaders. There's a variety of ways that you can achieve that. You can do that through adding one leader to your own team, bringing them along and preparing them to participate as part of your local team, and confirm their interest in meeting with your member of Congress. They can usually tell their own story through that meeting, how climate change is specifically impacting what they do. You know, for example, other groups also have had community leaders join by phone just to make sure, even if they can't make it in person, the member of Congress can hear their story and see their support they're lending. You could also consider bringing a small group of leaders to your lobby meeting. They can replace most of the CCL volunteers on the team, and the meeting can then focus pretty much exclusively on the message from those leaders. They're the primary voice in the meeting, and CCL members are the backup for them. And then lastly, you could also even assist them as a small group of leaders to request and hold their own non-CCL lobby meeting. CCL volunteers could still provide the training for that group as needed, but it would be clear that it isn't a CCL-specific meeting, and we've had many successes. You'll hear this, for example, with the CCL Indianapolis group, where they actually conducted a business roundtable as another way for community leaders to be held in that way. As you prepare for your lobby meeting, it's really important to consider a couple of key elements. Now, when you add one or more community leaders into a CCL lobby meeting, you're going to need to do extra preparation to make sure that your invited leaders understand the role that they're going to play. They're going to agree to abide by our core values as CCL and really agree to the focus as well as the ask for the meeting. You want to start your team's planning process early, months ahead of time when you'd ideally like to host your next in-district meeting. You'll hear from the stories again of how long this takes and importance of really coordinating from the get-go with an early plan. It's also really essential to hold a planning meeting for the team so that everyone knows, especially if they're going to be joining you as a CCL group, how to work together, what's expected, and really concurs with the meeting plan and the agenda that you set forth. Skipping this step, and I think this is really key to emphasize from the stories that we've heard, is likely to lead to your meeting going astray. And then lastly, you also want to be prepared to manage your time effectively, like you would with a regular CCL meeting. Yet you also want to be prepared for the meeting to be largely centered around the leader's experiences. Be sure to highlight early and often your community leader's explicit support, whether it's for a more generic action on climate change or their specific endorsement of HR, House Resolution 763, or the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. You also want to make sure that they're going to include and be able to speak to the impacts their business or their community is already facing from our changing climate. Now, the key thing, and then we'll pass it to our storytellers this evening, is also to be prepared to handle unexpected developments. There is always unpredictability in CCL lobby meetings. We know that for anyone that's participated in DC or in district with your meetings, either because the congressional office surprises us or because the conversation takes a different path than we originally intended. And it's really especially likely when lobbying with people who aren't focused on CCL's legislation the way that our volunteers are. So if you are the meeting lead and listening in to help really prepare your own local organization for bringing community leaders to a lobby meeting, you want to make sure to prepare yourself ahead of time by thinking through questions like this. You know, how can you bring the meeting back on track if your community leaders start to turn the conversation to other issues? How will you be prepared to bring it back if your community leader starts to express concerns about the Energy Innovation Act even? What if your member of Congress isn't interested in the message that you're bringing to that meeting? How can you still stay focused and make that meeting relevant for the member? Walking yourself through some of these scenarios ahead of time is really going to help you be ready in the moment to be prepared for that example. So let us do this. We have three wonderful stories outside of the Idaho experience that we've highlighted earlier in the webinar that we want to learn from tonight. We're going to start with the wonderful story of CCL Montana's efforts. We'll then go to CCL Indianapolis's efforts to build a business clean energy roundtable. And then we'll pass it to Kate Karn to focus on CCL Nebraska's recent successes. So with that, I will pass it to the wonderful Rob and Lori Byron, and we'll jump into hearing their story of success in CCL Montana and bringing together local grasstops leaders from throughout the outdoor industry.
Dr. Robert Byron, I'm a physician, one of the co-chairs of the CCL health team and active within CCL Montana as well.
I am Lori Byron, pediatrician and the other co-chair of the health team and also helping within our chapter and within our state in other CCL endeavors.
Well, first I would like to say that this was a statewide effort
And what we did that particular year was to focus on the outdoor industry. So we had created a letter, and various members of various chapters in Montana went about to outdoor industry leaders and employers to get them to sign this letter. And by the end of it, we had 25 to 30 businesses. These were not environmental groups. They were mostly fly fishermen and ski resorts. So we had this letter that had been created. And so we ended up with various chapter members knowing these people in the industry.
We weren't able to include them in a lot of our meetings with MOCs in Washington, but we were able to get a letter signed on by many of the organizations in the outdoor industry that we were then able to include in those meetings in D.C. And with our meetings in district, we're able to include some individual members as we met with staff of our MOCs.
So in November of that year, since we tend to have less members going to each of the meetings with the MOCs, we identified three different people. They were all in the fly fishing industry from Montana. And they were on the phone available to our DC visits with the MOC staffers. It was fortuitous, I guess, that year there was a lot of issues that were climate related that were affecting the fishing industry. The fish counts were considerably down. There was a lot of heat stress to where they put out warnings that people could only fish for half days. So this really affected the businesses and their ability to employ people. And then we also had a parasitic disease, a fungus that was affecting the fish and killing fish in some of the rivers in Montana. So it really was a time that the fly fishermen were ever more worried about their profession.
Brett, I think that's worth emphasizing, even just like we do with op-eds and letters to the editors in newspapers, of taking advantage of what's current in the news. In this case, we're able to take advantage of some kind of tragic situations to further the cause of climate change action at that particular time.
Well, I think it's a great idea, because I think that our MOCs and their staffers maybe get tired of hearing from us. And even though we say that we're bipartisan, they still sort of categorize us in with environmental groups. And so to get a particular industry in your state that has employees, that does employment in the state, and have them on the phone, just lets our representatives and our senators know that it's an issue for other people too.
There's certainly no one silver bullet. There's no one method that works every time. It's a matter of trying multiple different inroads, contacts, and networks to find the ones that will really work and develop those as they come forward. The other thing it's certainly not unique to Montana, but our population is relatively low. You know, we have multiple chapters, but basically we're one big chapter is what it ends up being. I mean, there's not enough population in any one area to really make a big impact. I don't know that that's unique to Montana any more than a few of the other rural states, and I just bring that up because it's a little different from those that have population centers. But the outdoor industry is a huge part of both our state income and the numbers of people employed relative to our small population. So it really does have a big impact with our congressional delegation, even though the actual number of people involved is relatively small.
What started us down this path is that every time we met with an MOC, we kept hearing, what about Colstrip? Because Colstrip's the power plant that's going to be closed within a number of years and employs several thousand people all totaled. But for us, even in Montana, there's about 60,000 people employed in the outdoor industry that are also being affected by climate change.
All right. So that is a perfect example of what's been going on in Montana to be able to elevate that voice. And let's transition to learning from what's been also effective in Indiana, with a different approach in bringing businesses together with a clean energy roundtable.
My name is Jim Grimes. I'm the Grasstops team coordinator for the Indianapolis chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby.
My name is George Chinesky. I'm retired, and I am the liaison with our congressperson, been for CCL and been that person for a number of years. The context was that our CCL group visited in Washington and posed a question to the person who was the connection with Congresswoman Brooks. Would she be interested in listening to businesses in central Indiana about energy innovation? And the guy said yes. Well, we approached her, the deputy chief of staff for her, and told her what we were trying to do and asked her if she would be interested in helping work with us on that. She spent an hour doing that. And so that made the connection. That made the important connection with the Congresswoman to move forward. Then we had also talked to the mayor about being involved, Mayor Brainerd, about being involved. And talked to him before about being the being interested in carbon fee and dividends. Yeah, I'd be interested. And then after hearing about what took place in Washington, I contacted him again and said, would you be interested in talking to us about a meeting with the Congresswoman and businesses in central Indiana in a roundtable discussion? He said, oh, yeah, he jumped at it right away.
The thing that took the most effort was the recruiting of the businesses. As George laid out, first of all, we had already established what we wanted the topic to be. And we wanted it to be transitioning to clean energy, a business perspective. Because that here in Indiana, it's very conservative. And when you mention the word climate change, you can sometimes get an immediate knee-jerk reaction that's negative. But when you talk about clean energy, which is the solution to climate change, you often get a very positive reaction. And so we decided to take that tack and focus on transitioning to clean energy. And once we had that down, and once we had the support of Mayor Brainerd, agreement we had from Susan Brooks's office that she would attend, we leveraged those two things to help us recruit the business. And we really never relied on cold calls. That was one of the things we had learned previously in the Grasstops effort. So we relied on what connections we had. Mayor Brainerd suggested some companies for us to contact. Actually, Susan Brooks's office suggested a company for us to contact. And we also leveraged the work of another nonprofit in the central Indiana area. We did that and leveraged those recommendations, and we got the businesses to attend. So once we had all that lined up, it was a matter then of just pretty much communication with everyone involved and organizing the logistics of the event. Okay. So there were five businesses, and that turned out to be about the right amount. We had the Indiana National Guard who was there. We had Telemon Corporation, Cummins, Bex Seeds, and we had Duke Energy. So it was a mixture from small to national and international corporations.
I'd like to underscore that in terms of Grasstops, Jim was the leader of the Grasstops group. So he was core in getting those businesses involved.
And I would also say that George, being the liaison to Susan Brooks, and who also had the connection with Mayor Brainerd, we worked hand in hand and communicated almost daily for several months to make everything flow as it needed to flow.
And Jim wrote the letter for Mayor Brainerd to send out as the invitation, and Mayor Brainerd accepted that. and sent that out with Congresswoman Brooks's initial approval of it before it went out.
May I read you is the Facebook item that Susan Brooks, who was the member of Congress that was attending, put out shortly after the meeting. And this is what it says. This morning, I joined City of Carmel, Indiana government's Mayor Jim Brainerd, Indiana 05 business leaders, and others for a roundtable discussion focused on critical issues facing our climate and environment. Business leaders from our community shared how they are working to reduce their collective impact on our environment, as well as ways to make their organizations more sustainable. As a state and a community, it's critical we take advantage of opportunities to expand our use of renewable energy resources. Thank you to all who attended for a very informative roundtable meeting. That statement right there was the statement that made me think of this as a real success, and maybe a little bit of a change in her position. She has not been an ardent supporter of anything environmentally related, but this was a positive statement that was the result of this roundtable discussion.
What a great example, and what a powerful way to really put all of what we discussed tonight into a full equation. And after CCL Montana in Indiana, I'm going to pass it over to you, Kay, and we will make sure that we can learn also from the wonderful story of CCL Nebraska's efforts. So the floor is yours, Kay, and thank you for joining us as well.
All right. Well, thanks for having us. I guess I'll just walk you through what we did here in Nebraska. We took our inspiration from Jay Butera, who you mentioned at the beginning of the training, so definitely check out any tips you see from him. We were hearing from our congressperson when we would lobby in June and November, we were often hearing the same thing. I need to have some more support in my district, and I need some more support from businesses and community leaders. And reading the tea leaves, we heard that he needed more conservative support specifically. So we set out to find conservatives in our community who would go into a meeting with us and say, we'd like to see action on climate change. This took a lot of work for our chapter, and we had to hold approximately 24 meetings. We would have meetings with 2 or 3 of our chapter active volunteers and one elected official or one business leader or someone from academia or elected officials from our public power company. So we had about 6 of these meetings. We educated each one of these people on our bill, and that was a benefit for us to spread information about our bill to make people aware of it. A lot of times, people said that they weren't, you know, on board or this wasn't an issue that they wanted to step forward on, but we would always ask them, well, who else should we talk to about this? Who do you know who would be interested in learning about this particular bill? And we were very much focused on the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. So through that, we started with our connections and we continued to talk to community leaders and business leaders. And we found 4 conservatives who truly wanted to ask for action on the issue of climate change. So that was really wonderful in the conservative state that we are in. And then after we found these 4 people, we had all of our chapter members call the congressman's office. We had our chapter members write many, many postcards asking him to co-sponsor HR 763. We prepared our 4 distinguished guests to ensure that they knew that we were going to have a meeting talking about this bill specifically and climate change overall, and that we wanted the meeting to be focused on those 2 issues and not to bring other items in. And we prepared handouts for our member of Congress, trying to address some of the concerns that we had heard from his staff on our bill specifically. The last thing we did to prepare for our meeting, I thought was really important. We got it together and we brought breakfast. And who doesn't like to walk into a room with a nice spread of bagels and fruit? And it's not a big deal, but it makes people happy. Just want to share, I think that this really worked out and was successful because he wasn't hearing from Citizens Climate Lobby people specifically. He was hearing from people in the community that our member already had a connection to, whether it was a connection from a previous work experience or a connection through the political party that he's in. Having people that he's already connected to come into a meeting and say, yes, we support seeing action on the issue of climate change was really, really important. The other success that we've seen, even though he hasn't been the second Republican to join our bill, the other success we've seen is he signed on to other bills that are related to the issue of addressing climate change. After our meeting with him, he signed on to a grid storage bill and a wind energy bill. So we think that those are great steps to take. That's all I have.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Kay. Again, just a huge, huge round of applause for Kay and Jennifer and Jim joining us live tonight, for all the wisdom that we also gained from George and from Rob and Lori and from the CCL Idaho chapter. We are so grateful for your leadership and taking the time to really walk us through what's worked for you so that we can learn from and benefit from your own experiences in our own groups throughout this country. I found this webinar entirely inspirational and just want to uplift and close tonight by saying we really appreciate the hard work that's been done in these chapters that we've uplifted. And we look forward to hearing the stories of those that are tuning in later and taking this model and running with it with their own groups.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram @CitizensClimate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.